B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to try and learn Shabbos Daf Samach Beis. We're going to start from the Mishnah, approximately a third from the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Loi seitzei isha b'machat hanukuva. It's also min ha-toira for a woman to go out on Shabbos with a needle that has an eye in it, that's got a hole in it. V'loi b'tabas sh'yesh alei ha-chaysam. Similarly, a ring that has a signet on it for a woman, it's called a burden, and she's not allowed to go out with it in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. V'loi b'kulyar, nor with a brooch. We'll learn about that later on. V'loi b'kiveles, and not with a hollow type of pendant where they used to put spices in and fragrance. V'loi b'tzluchis shel plaiton, nor with a little flask into which they would put plaiton. We'll see what that means. V'im yotzto chayeves chatos divi Reb Meir. Reb Meir maintains that if a woman goes out with any of these, she's chayev chatos. It's biblically osa to go out with it, and carrying in it in a Rishus HaRabim is considered carrying and is chayev chatos. The Chachomim poitrim, the Chachomim agree with Reb Meir in most cases, but they say that one is potter, she is potter, b'kiveles u'b'tzluches shel plaiton. Regarding the pendant or the flask, in those, even though it's osa for her to go out with it, if she goes out with it, she's not chayev chatos. Says the Gemara, Omar Ula, v'chilufeihen be'ish. Regarding a man, it's exactly the opposite. In the cases, we're talking now about the rings. A type of ring that for a man is also midrabanan to go out with, namely a ring that has a signet. For a woman, it's also minatera. For her, it's a burden. And so too the other way around. A ring without a signet, for a man it's chiyuv chatos, and for a woman it's only going to be osur midrabanan. Says the Gemara, Alma, kosova ula. So from this fact that Ula said this, we see that he holds, kol midi dechozi leish, anything that's fit for a man, loy chozi leisha. The fact that it's called a beged, it's called a clothing, an accessory, an ornament for a man, is not enough reason to exempt a woman who goes out with it on Shabbos from hachiyuv chatos. Umidi dechozi leish, or lechozi leish, and so too the other way around. Something that's fit for a woman, it's called a clothing, an accessory, an ornament for a woman. For example, a ring without a signet. For a man, it's chiyuv chatos. The fact that it's a beged or a tachshit for a woman does not exempt a man who goes out with it from his chiyuv chatos. Mosiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is going to ask a question on this. He's going to challenge this. Haroyim yoitzin besakim. Typically, shepherds would go out with a type of a sackcloth that would protect them from the rain. V'loy haroyim belvad. Not only the shepherds. Omru. This is true about Elo kol odom. Any person that goes out with such a sackcloth on Shabbos is allowed to go out with them. Elo shedarkon shel haroyin lotzeis pesakin. It was typical, it was fit for shepherds to go out with this sackcloth, and it was not fit for other people. And Rav Yosef asked the Kasha, he assumed that the reason that other people are allowed to go out with it on Shabbos, it's only because it's considered a piece of clothing for the shepherds. Therefore, since for the shepherds it's called clothing, anyone is allowed to go out with it. And this seems to contradict what we just assumed here from Ula, that even though a man would go out with a ring with a signet, at least biblically, it's not called a burden. Nonetheless, if a woman goes out with it, she's chiyuv chatos. And this seems to be a contradiction. Elam Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Kosovar Ula noshim ambifne atzmonheim. Women are considered a nation of their own, and therefore within one nation, if something is called a clothing, an accessory, an ornament for one part of that nation, then anyone who goes out with it that way will not be chayev chatos. So if men go out with it, regular people go out with it, and shepherds go out with it, then if it's fit for a shepherd, then nobody will be chayev chatos. But women versus men is a different nation. The fact that men go out with it does not mean it's appropriate or that it's called a beged for a woman, and so too vice versa. Continues the Gemara, Isvi Abaya. Abaya is going to challenge this. Hamoitzi tfilin, somebody who finds tfilin on Shabbos, and to leave it lying on the street or wherever he found it, is inappropriate. He wants to save these tefillin. Machnison zug zug. He can wear them one pair at a time and take them from wherever they are into a protected place in Roshus HaYochid. Echod ho'ish ve'echod ho'isha. This is true both for a man or a woman. If either a man or a woman find pairs of tefillin, they can don them, they can wear a pair at a time and take them to a safe place. If what you're saying, how you just explained, Ulla, that women are an ambifneatzmon and something that's called a clothing or an accessory or an ornament for a man does not considered a clothing for a woman, v'hein mitzvah saseh shazman gromahu. We know that tefillin is a mitzvah saseh shazman groma. It belongs to the bracket of mitzvahs that are only apply at a certain time, not all the time. And we know that v'chol mitzvah saseh shazman groma, any mitzvah saseh that is bound to time, noshim pturis, they are potur. If women would be chayev with tefillin, it would be a levush, it would be a beged or an ornament for them. And therefore it makes sense that they can go out with it on Shabbos, they can carry the tefillin from the Roshus HaRabim into a protected place, into Roshus HaYochid, and it's not called a burden. But if you say that women are completely potter, then it's not an ornament for them. The only thing that would make it potter is because for a man, it's considered a levush. For a man, it's considered an accessory or a tachshit. And the reason for that is because he has a chiyuv and a mitzvah to wear these tefillin during the week. And so if you say that noshim are not ambifnei atzmon, it makes sense. Because for a man, it's called a levush. For a woman, she's not chayev chatos, and in the case of saving the tefillin, she's allowed to save them. But if you say noshim ambifnei atzmon, the fact that a man is allowed to wear them and it's considered a levush, that does not mean it's considered that way for a woman. So how can you say here that a woman is allowed to save these tefillin? Answers the Gemara, Hosam kasova Reb Meir, Lailos man tefillin hu, v'shabbos man tefillin hu. Why did we assume that tefillin is called a mitzvah that you only do sometimes, not all the time? Because we assumed that number one, Shabbos is not a time for tefillin, and even for men, and number two, night is not tefillin, time for tefillin, even for men. Since for men, they're only chayev in the weekdays, and only during the day, not during the night, it's called a mitzvah saseh shazman groma, and noshim, women, will be exempt from it. But now the Gemara is saying that braisa holds of Reb Meir, and Reb Meir says that night is a time for tefillin for men, and Shabbos is a time of tefillin for men, which means it's not considered a mitzvah saseh shazman groma, it's not bound by time. And therefore, havale mitzvah saseh she lo yazman groma, v'chol mitzvah saseh she lo yazman groma, noshim chayovis. Any mitzvah which is not zman groma, noshim are going to be chayev, and therefore it's considered a tachshit, an ornament, even for the women, because they are required, they are mechuyev in tefillin, according to Reb Meir, even during the week. And therefore they can save these tefillin on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. And now we're going back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah discusses the rings. And what did we see in the Mishnah? That a woman that goes out with a ring that contains a signet is chayev chatos. It's called carrying. It's a burden. And therefore, if she carries it, it's biblically osa. Asks the Gemara, v'ho hoitzah kalacha yadhi. Okay, granted, it's not called a clothing, it's not called an accessory, it's not called an ornament, it's called a burden. But what's the normal way of carrying on Shabbos? One is only ever chayev chatos if one does the melachos in a normal way. How does a person carry something? He carries it in his hand, not on his finger. So this woman, she's taken this ring, which is a ring with a signet. For her, it's a burden. She hasn't taken it out holding it in her hand. She's taken it out on her finger. And that's called kalachayad. It's called an abnormal way of carrying. So why should there be a chayev chatos by doing hoitzah in an abnormal way? So answers the Gemara, Omer B'Yermia, B'isha Gizboris Oskinon. We're talking here about a woman who is appointed to make decisions, to have some financial responsibilities. She's a Gizbor, and therefore it was common for her to wear such a signet on her finger. So it's true, it's not a cloth, it's not an accessory, it's not an ornament for her. It doesn't up her value in any way. It's not complimentary for her to be wearing it, and therefore she's not allowed to wear it on Shabbos. It's called a maso. But nonetheless, when she wears it on her finger, it's not called unusual. For this woman, it's usual for her to carry this burden on her finger. And therefore, if she carries this burden on her finger on Shabbos, she's chayev chatos. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, tirats to isha. Okay, you've explained to me why a woman who wears a ring with a signet on Shabbos is chayev chatos, because it's usual for this type of woman to wear such a ring even during the week. It's normal for her to carry it this way. Ishmael Kalameimar, a ring that does not have a signet. And we said if a man wears a ring which does not have a signet, he's chayev chatos. Well, why is he chayev chatos? He's carrying a ring in an unusual way. You don't normally carry. A man doesn't wear a ring without a signet. And if you carry it, you carry it in your hand, not on your finger. Why is he chayev chatos? Answers the Gemara, Elo Amar Rava. Rava says a little bit differently to Rabbi Yirmiyah. He says over here, both cases of the man and the woman, even though a ring with a signet is a burden for a woman, and a ring without a signet is a burden for a man, nonetheless, wearing these rings on their finger was common, or at least it was not called unusual. It could be there are other times that a man or a woman would go out with a ring like that on their finger. Sometimes a man gives a woman a ring with a signet. It has a signet. To put it into the box. And she puts it onto her finger and on the way when she's taking it to the box. So you see that even though for her it's a burden, it's not an ornament, nonetheless, it was common for when they carried such rings for their husbands, they would put it on their finger. And therefore, on Shabbos, it's called a derech itzah. It's called a usual way of carrying the burden. And therefore, if you do it on Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, she will be chayev. Acha magas lekufsa, she puts on a finger till she gets to the box. Upa'omim, and sometimes, she'isha noisenes lebalo tabas, she'ein oleo chayisam. Sometimes a woman gives a ring that does not have a signet to her husband, lo'ilicha eitzel umon, in order to take it to the craftsman, lesakin, to fix it. Umanicha biyoda, and he puts it on his finger, acha magie eitzel umon, until he gets to the craftsman. So you see here that if a man wears a ring without a signet, it's not an unusual way of doing it. It's called a burden. And therefore, if he does it on Shabbos, he's chayev chatos. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, v'loy b'chulyar v'loy b'kiveles. A woman's not allowed to go out with this kulya, which we said was a brooch. V'loy b'kiveles, and not with this hollow type of pendant, which she could put some spice in to make a good smell. Asks the Gemara, my kulyar. What is a kulyar? Omar Rav, Rav explains, machvanto, it's a brooch, which is some ornamental type of clasp with which a woman would typically close her blouse with it. And that's the kulyar, and she's not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Kiveles, what's this kiveles? Omar Rav, chumrasa de piloin, this is a type of pendant that they would put some fragrance on it called piloin, and this was very nice smelling, and therefore a woman that typically would have a bad smell, she would wear such a pendant on. She would wear such a pendant, and she's not allowed to wear it on Shabbos. V'chein omer Rav Asi chumras de piloin. Rav Asi also explained that this kiveles is this chumras de piloin, a pendant which would have this fragrant of piloin in it. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon. Lo yiseitzei b'kiveles. The Braisa says the woman is not allowed to go out with a kiveles, with this pendant. V'im yotzto chayeves chatos. Divrei Reb Meir. Reb Meir holds if she does go out with it, she's chayev chatos, which is what we saw Reb Meir in our Mishnah. V'chachomim oimrim. The Chachomim said, lo yiseitzei, she may not go out with it on Shabbos. V'im yotzto, but if she did go out with it on Shabbos, p'tura, she's potter from chatos. Rebeliezer holds, Yoitza, it's mutafer to go out with it on Shabbos. Yoitza's isha b'kiveles l'katchila. She's allowed to go out with it even l'katchila. And the Gemara explains, b'maiko miflugi, what point are they arguing about? Reb Meir sovar masayu. Reb Meir says this type of pendant is called a burden, and therefore if she carries it on Shabbos, she's going to be chayav chatos. The Rabbonon sovri tachshetu, the Rabbonon hold that it's an ornament. Since it's an ornament, biblically speaking, it's not called a burden. She's allowed to go out with it. But the Chachamim said, don't go out with an ornament. You may take it off to show your friends, and you'll carry an Roshus Rabim. Therefore, don't wear it on Shabbos. Maybe she's going to remove it and show it to her friends, and she'll come to carry on Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer holds, man darko lemirme. What type of woman typically wears such a pendant? Ishosherei chora, a woman who has a bad smell. Ishosherei chora lo yisholfa umachve. Such a woman would not take off this pendant to show her friends. V'lo asya laasuye arba amos. She will not come to carry 4 amos b'rishos harabim in a public domain. Asks the Gemara v'otanya Rabbi Eliezer poiter. In another brisa, it says, Rebbe Eliezer says she's potter if she wears this koveles. And this seems to contradict what we just saw now, that Rebbe Eliezer holds it's mutter. Rebbe Eliezer said, yoitzes isha bekoveles lekatchila. And here in this brisa, it says potter, and potter normally means potter aval osur. Rebbe Eliezer said, poiter bekoveles ubetzluches shel pleiton. In the case of the pendant and this flask we mentioned in the Mishnah of pleiton, in these two cases, it's potter, but she's not allowed to go out with it. Says the Gemara Lo Kasha. The truth is that Rabbi Eliezer holds she's allowed to go out with it. Like we saw in this first brisa, Rabbi Eliezer says it's mutter for her to go out with this koveles. So what does it mean? Why did Rabbi Eliezer say poiter? He should have said mutter. So the Gemara explains. This brisa where it says that it's just potter, where it seems to be it's osa, but really it's muta. Why does he use the term potter? Kikoyad Reb Meir. He's responding to Reb Meir. Reb Meir said chayev, Reb Eliezer said potter. Oh, but the braisa where it says you're allowed to go out with the lekatchila, kikoyad Rabbonon, he's responding to the Rabbonon. The Rabbonon who said that she's potter, but it's osa, Reb Eliezer said, no, it's not osa, it's muta. The Gemara is going to explain. Kiko yad Reb Meir do omar chayev chatos. When responding to Reb Meir who said chayev chatos, omar le potur. He responded by saying potur. The opposite of chayev is potur. Kiko yad Rabbonon, when he was responding to the Rabbonon, do omri potur, who say potur, aval osur, but it's also to go out with on Shabbos, omar iu. So Reb Eliezer answered back, mutu lekatchila, you're allowed to go out with it lekatchila on Shabbos. Now we don't yet know where is this Reb Meir who holds that there's a chiyuv chatos to go out with this koveles, and Reb Eliezer is responding. Where's this discussion between Reb Meir and Reb Eliezer? So the Gemara explains the Tanya lo yiseitzei isha mipes b'mafteach shebiyodo. The Braisa says a woman is not allowed to go out with a key in her hand. V'im yotzes, and if she goes out, it's considered a burden. Chayeves chatos divi Reb Meir. Reb Meir says she's chayev chatos if she carries it on Shabbos. Reb Eliezer says poiter, she's poter b'kuveles u'betzluches shel pleiton. If she goes out with this pendant or with the tzluches shel pleiton, then she's poter. The Gemara asks kuveles mandachar shemei. Why is Reb Eliezer responding to Reb Meir talking about koveles? Reb Meir didn't talk about koveles. Reb Meir started with mafteach shebiyoda, and Reb Eliezer answered back that koveles and the tzluchis is potur. Says the Gemara, chisurim mechshur v'ochiktonim. We have to add a few words into this brisa in order to understand what's going on. And it goes as follows. The brisa starts, is talking about Reb Meir who says chayev, v'chein b'koveles v'chein b'tzluchis shel pleiton. Reb Meir holds that kiveles, this pendant, and the tzluchis shel pleiton, this flask of pleiton, lo yiseitze, she's not allowed to go out with it, v'im yotzo chayeves chatos, divi Reb Meir. And if she goes out with them, she's chayev chatos, like we saw in our Mishnah. Reb Eliezer poita, here Reb Eliezer responds, potur, she's not chayev, she's potur, but kiveles, but tzluchis shel pleiton. And therefore, Reb Meir, responding to Reb Meir, said potur, even though Reb Meir himself held, not only is it potur, it's even mutter to go out with it lekatchila. Continues the Braise, Bamed Devorim Amurim, when does Reb Eliezer say that Sloiches Shel Pleiton, this little flask that's supposed to contain some of this pleiton, is called an ornament and she's allowed to go out with it on Shabbos, assuming that she's got a bad smell? Kashiesh Ben Boisem, when there's a little bit of spice inside this flask, then that's called an ornament, and wearing it in that way is the way one would wear this ornament. and she's allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Aval ein ben boisim, if there's only an aroma left of the spice, which is probably why she's wearing it, but there's no spice left in it on its own, then it's not called an ornament. If it's not an ornament, then it's a burden. And she's carrying, what's she carrying? Not the spice, there's no spices in it, but she's carrying the flask. And it's, now that she's wearing the flask without spices, without anything in it, then the flask is not considered an ornament, and she's carrying the flask. And the Gemara is going to discuss this a bit more in a moment. And if she goes out with this empty flask, chayeves, she's chayev, because it's a burden, she's carried on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Ada bar Ava, Zoisei Meres. It seems from what you're saying, Hamoitzi oichlin pochis mikashiur bikli chayev. We know that to be chayev for carrying, for taking something from one rishus to another, to taking something in rishus or rabim for amos, that's for everything that you carry, there's a minimum amount that you carry, and if you're carrying less than that, you will not be chayev chatos. The amount of boisem, of perfume, of spice, of fragrance, that a person, if he carries it on Shabbos, is chayev, is kolshu, is something which is extremely minimal, but it's got to be something. It's got to be some spice there. Over here, where there's no spice left, all that's left is the aroma. So relative to a mashahu of spice, the aroma is less than that shiur, but the aroma is there. So what happens whenever you take out an amount of food, for example, that's less than the amount of food that would make you chayev? And this less than amount of food that you're taking out with the kli, with a utensil, something's holding it. So do we say that since the amount of food that you've taken is too small to be chayev on Shabbos, therefore the container, which is bottle, which is just an annex to the main part, which is the food, you're not chayev for taking that out either? Or do we say no? For taking out the food, it's too less, it's not enough. But the kli, you'll be chayev for the kli, in the event that there's a kli. Here, what's happening, that the aroma relative to the little bit of spice that you're not allowed to take out, it's called less than the required amount. The flask is a kli that's holding that aroma. It's a utensil that you're taking out that's holding this aroma. So this flask that doesn't have any plaiton, it just has some aroma. If there's no aroma at all, you're carrying a flask. You're definitely going to be chayev. But over here, you're carrying the aroma, which is an amount of spice, which is less than the minimum required amount. And you see here that you're chayev. So the Gemara says, I see from here that Hamoitzi oichlin pochis mikashiur, if you take out food less than the required amount that would make you chayev for the food, bekli, but if you're taking out this small amount with a kli, chayev, you're going to be chayev. Otherwise, we'd be potter with this flask. The amount of fragrance here, the aroma that is left when ein bo boisem, when there's no actual perfume left, kapochis mikashur bekli domi, it's considered, it's on the same level, the same category as taking out a food item then that's less than the minimum required amount to be chayev on Shabbos, and you're taking out with the kli, and you see here that in the brisa that chayev uktoni chayeves, says the Gemara. No, Rav Ashi says as follows: you cannot compare the two. Ba'alma e melacha, I'll always tell you potter. For example, taking out a food, let's say a certain food, you only chayev if you take out a kezayis. We're not discussing now the shurim, it's a sugis elsewhere. But let's say the shur is a kezayis. So if you carry a kezayis, you're chayev for carrying a kezayis. If you carry half a kezayis, it's not enough and you'll be potter. If this half a kezayis is in a kli, we say the main part is the food. And since the food is not enough to be chayev, you won't be chayev, even though you're carrying the kli. That's all very good when you have some substance there. You have some food, however little it is, and the kli is bottle, is annexed to the food. Vashani hochba, in the case over here of the flask, deleisele mamosha klal, all that's left in the flask is the aroma. Aroma is nothing to be counted with. It's nothing, it's just a smell. And since there's nothing, no substance in the flask, we consider it as if you're taking out an empty flask, an entirely empty flask, and therefore, in this case, everyone will agree that you'll be chayev for carrying the flask. And now, since the Gemara has spoken about the fragrances in the Tzluchis Shel Pleiton. Well, now we're going to discuss a little bit more about the sugyas, the fragrances, the perfumes in Eretz Yisrael and otherwise. Says the Gemara, there's a pasuk in Amos. In Amos, the Novi there was complaining that people were too busy with luxuries and just getting carried away with pleasures, that they were not taking heed of what was really important in life and was not listening to what the Nevi'im were saying. So the pasuk says, goes as follows, Hashoisim b'mizrake yayin, those who are drinking from mizrake yayin, from bowls of wine, Vereshis shmonim yimshachum, and from the choicest of oils they're anointing themselves, V'loy nochlu al shever Yosef, etc. So the Gemara explains, Vereshis shmonim yimshachu, they are anointing themselves with the choicest of oils, Omer v'yuhud omashmuel, zu pleiton. This is talking about this pleiton we're mentioning here, and this is considered a luxury. Mosev Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is asking a question. We know that the whole pasuk over there in Amos is referring to luxuries. That means including the mizrake yayin and the shmonim. So if, according to what you, Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, said, that the luxuries are this pleiton, that means that pleiton is only considered a luxury. Not more than that, not less than that. Asks Rav Yosef, if so, when it comes to a stage later in history, after Churban Beis Hamikdash, and over there the Chachomim tried to minimize the amount of that people were engaging in luxury, because after all the Beis Hamikdash had been destroyed. So Rav Yosef asks, Af al Pleiton Gozar Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava said that using Pleiton is osir, should not be used after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. V'loy ha'iduloy, the Chachomim did not agree with him. It says the Gemara, Ve'i Omrus, according to what you, Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, have just said, that Mishum Tainog, that Pleiton is what's mentioned in the Pasuk, Reishis Shimonim Yimshachu. And that Pasuk we know is talking about extra luxuries, Ta'anugim, Amai Loi Hoiduloi. If it's not a necessity, if it's a necessity, I can understand that even after the Churban, the Chachamim said it's a necessity, don't decree against using it. But if it's just a luxury, why did the Chachamim not agree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava that it should be also to use it? Omale Abaye responded as follows, Ulatam Meich, according to you, that Hoksiv Hashoisim b'mizrake yayin, in that same Pasuk in Amos, it says that they were drinking from bowls of wine. Rab Ami v'Rav Asi, Chad Omar Knishkinin, V'chad Omar Shemizarkin Koseseim Ze Leze, Hochanami de Osir. Over there, the Pasuk mentions that they were drinking with bowls of wine. And there's a discussion, what were these bowls? Was it Knishkinin, which is a bowl, a type of very tall glass holder, bottle, that has two spouts on it? Or it was Shemizarkin Koseseim Ze Leze, it was a type of act that they would do where they would part, almost throw to each other cups full of wine, and even though they were throwing them, nothing would spill between them, and that's clearly a luxury. Hachanami de Osir, are you going to assume that after the Churban Beis Hamikdash it should be Osir? Because you said that anything that's luxury should be Osir after the Beis Hamikdash. V'harabba Barav Huna, ikl lebe Resh Galusa. Rabbi Barav Huna was visiting the Resh Galusa after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, v'shasya b'knishkinin, and v'shasa b'knishkinin, and he was drinking from knishkinin, which according to one opinion is these mizrake yayin, and it's clearly just a luxury. V'lo omar le v'lo midi, and the Resh Galusa didn't say anything. Nobody responded anything. So how are you going to explain that? Elo, it must be, Kol midi de ispe tainug ve ispe simcha gozu rabbonon. The only things that the rabbonon said were osa after the Churban Beis Hamikdash was if it's tainug, if it's just for luxury, and it's something that causes extra simcha. Avul midi de ispe tainug, but those things that they are pleasure, they are extra luxury. Vlespe simcha, but they do not have an extra amount of simcha in it. Loi gozu rabbonon, the rabbonon did not say it was osa, and therefore the mizrake yayin, this knishkinin, it's luxury, it's taino, without the simcha. And therefore they were allowed to use it after the Churban. And so too, regarding this pleiton, that the Chachomim said to you, Rabbi Yehuda ben Rava, we don't agree with you. It's true that it's Tainug, but it's not accompanied with a Simcha, and therefore, even though it's after the Churban, we're not going to decree to ban using it, to ban using it Bechlal. Continues the Gemara. And this is another Pasuk, a couple of Psukim earlier, about some negative things that were going on. The Pasuk says as follows, Hashoichvim al mitois shein. They were lying on beds of ivory. Usruchin al arsoisam. The literal translation of this is Sruchin, they were stretched out al arsoisam, on their beds, on their couches. What does that mean? What's the Pasuk alluding to? Is that all they were doing? Omar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Melamed Shehoyu Mashtinim Mayim Epnei Mitoseim Arumim. The word sruchin, the literal translation is they were stretched out, but it can also mean saruach, which is foul, defiling. So it's referring to those people who are on their beds, and they would be saruach. They would be doing something that would make the bed foul. What were they doing? They used to urinate when they were not dressed. And Rashi explains, because they were not dressed, they couldn't be bothered getting dressed and going out to pass water, so they would just urinate whilst on their beds. And it's true that they would urinate onto the floor, but the beds would become foul as well. That's what they were doing. Megadif bar Rabavo argued with what Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina's explanation of this pasuk, and he said, Ihochi, if that's all they were doing is that they were urinating from their beds and some of the droplets was making the bed foul, Hainu dechsev, does it make sense that the pasuk should say a few psukim later, Lachain ato yiglu baroish goylim, that therefore they're going to be exiled, the head, the first of the exiles? Mishum de mashtinin maim epnei mitaseim arumim, just because they're urinating, because they're not dressed, and they're making their beds foul, yiglu baroish goylim, is that good enough reason that they should be exiled and not stam exiled, the first of the exiles, the head of the exiles? Elom Rebavo explains it differently. Elu b'nei Odom shohu oichlin v'shoisim. This is talking about, that means the sruchim al arsoisom. There was something they were defiling, something that was very foul to do with their beds. What was that? They used to eat. V'shoisim zeim zeh, they would drink with each other. V'doivkin mitoseim zeh b'zeh, they would connect, they would attach their beds to each other, that means the beds one to another. Umachlifin neshoseim zeim zeh, and they would switch wives with each other. Umasrichin arsoisam, and they would defile their beds b'shichva zera she'enu shelahen, and this is something which is clearly deserving of going into golus. Continues the Gemara, Omer bavo v'omri lo b'masnita tona, some say it was a bravo, some say it was a brisa. Gimel dvorim vienes odom lideanius. There are three things that cause a person to poverty. And Rashi says that the Gemara in Psochim Daf Kufi Dalef explains that the malach that's responsible for poverty is called novel. Novel is something which is very repulsive and foul, and therefore these things could cause a person to become poor. Ve'eluhen, they are as follows. Hamashtin mayim bifnei mitosei orum, as we saw before, somebody who urinates whilst he's still lying on his bed. The second thing is mezalzel benetilas yadayim, and this person did not take netilas yadayim seriously enough. It's another reason that a person could become poor, which ishtoi mekalalti befonov, or if a person's wife curses him in front of him. And the Gemara is going to explain. Hamashtin mayim bifnei mitosei orum. That's the first of the three things that could cause a person to become poor, is if a person urinates whilst lying on his bed. That's only true when he's facing the bed, and even though he's aiming for the floor, for the earth, which and he's urinating onto the floor, but the bed will become, mo'os will become foul. If he's facing away from the bed, then it doesn't matter, because no driplets will fall on his bed. And even if he is facing the bed, they only said it was a problem, if he was urinating straight onto the floor. And then we say that since the water is passing over the bed, it will make the bed foul. Aval b'mono, if he's urinating into some type of vessel, leslon bo, there's no problem because the bed will stay clean. Continues the Gemara, the second thing that could cause poverty, umezalzel benetilas yudaim, somebody who does not take netilas yudaim seriously. Omar Rava. Rava said, lai omron, this is only true, elo deloi mosha yodei klal. It's only true if somebody does not wash his hands at all, then it can bring to poverty. Aval mosha veloi mosha, les lon bo. But if he washes his hands and he only uses the minimum required amount of water, then it doesn't matter. There's no reason in the world you should use more than a revius. It's okay. V'lev miltzahi. The Omer of Chizda. Rav Chizda said it's not true. It's inaccurate to say that if you use the minimum amount of water, then there's no advantage, there's nothing to be gained by using more water to make sure your hands are properly cleaned. He says that's not correct. Ano masoi meloi chofni maya. I would wash my hands with full fistfuls of water to make sure that they were properly clean. Vayovuli, and as a reward for that, I was given meloi chofni tivusa. I was given handfuls of prosperity. So you see there that there is an advantage, there is what to be gained by using more water. Now it's true that if you use the minimum amount and not less, then you may not get poverty. Because poverty, like we said, like Rava said, is only if you don't use enough, or you don't wash your hands like you should at all. But if you did your minimum requirement and just didn't do enough, then don't assume there's nothing to be gained. Rav Chisda says there is what to be gained to use enough water. The third thing that we mentioned before that causes poverty, if his wife curses him in front of him, Omar Rava al iske tachshitel. The reason that she's cursing him is because he is not providing her with the necessary ornaments and tachshitim, the jewelry that she deserves and needs. V'hanem milahu de islay. This is only true if he can afford it, and he doesn't give it her, and he curses her, it could bring poverty. V'loy ovid, and he doesn't give her, even though he can afford it. If he can't afford it, then his wife has no right to be upset at him, and she certainly cannot curse him, and if she does, that's not a reason that he should be punished with poverty. Continues the Gemara. Dorash Rava Bereda of Eloi. My Dichsiv, we're going to now explain what a posuk in Yeshaya. And Yeshaya is talking about some inappropriate behaviors that were going on in his times. Dichsiv, it says in the posuk, Vayomer Hashem, Hashem said, Ya'an, because Kigovu, Benois Tzion, the daughters of Tzion, they were very haughty. What does that mean, says the Gemara? Shahoyu Mahalchois Bekoimos Gufa. They were walking with a very erect posture. Vatilachno netoyois goroin, and they were walking with outstretched necks. The shahoyu mahalchis ekev btzad goydel. Consequent to their walking with very outstretched necks, they could not see where they were walking, and therefore they had to walk very slowly, one foot in front of the other. Umesakrois enoyim, and with gazing eyes, the word sikur, the literal translation for now is gazing eyes, and the Gemara explains the haven mol on kuchla leinayhu. They would fill their eyes with makeup. The word sakrois, sikur, is also a term for gazing and also a term used for makeup. Umeramzon, and they would beckon to the young men there. Holoich v'tofoif. What does it mean, holoich v'tofoif? It means they were going and they were floating. How do you go floating? So the Gemara says, Shahoyu mahalchis aruka b'tzad k'tzara. The very tall women would walk next to the very short women, and then the heads would be sticking up above their shorter women, and it would look as if they're floating above the rest. Uberaglehem ta'achkasno. Which means, and with their feet, they would spew venom. Omer v'yitzchok d'beir v'ami. What does that mean? Melamed shematilois moir v'afarasamoin. They would take different types of spices and fragrances and put them b'min olehen in their shoes. U'mahalchois b'shuk, and they would go into the marketplaces, b'shuk Yerushalayim, to the marketplaces in Yerushalayim. V'kivon shemagia is eitzel b'churei Yisrael. When they would near the young unmarried men, Klal Yisrael, boyatois bekarka, they would stamp on the floor, umatizois aleim, and would spray onto them this perfume, umachnisois ben yetzahara, and they would caused the Yetzirah to enter these men, ke'eres b'ka'us, like venom from an angry snake. Says the Gemara, my peronusam, what was their punishment? Kedudorish Rava Bar Ula. As Rava Bar Ula is going to explain another pasuk later on in that perik in Yeshaya. The pasuk goes as follows, V'hoyo tachas boisem muk. Instead of boisem, which is fragrances, muk yeah. They would have decay. Mokim shahoyu mispas mois boi. Nase nemokim nemokim, the place where they would have put on perfume before, in the way they shouldn't, is going to become very decayed. Nemokim nemokim. Vesachas chagoyro, instead of a belt, nikpo. What does that mean? Mokim shahoyu chagurois betziltzul, the place where they would typically have girded a belt, nase nekofim nekofim, will become very bruised. Vesachas Maase mikche korcho. And instead of maase mikche, which means carved out jewelry, korcho will be baldness. Mokim shahoyu miskashto is the word mikche, which typically would be translated as carved out from a solid, which is referring to jewelry, which is generally carved out. The word mikche also has the letters of miskashtois, which means adorned. And those places that they would adorn themselves, nase krochim krochim, would become bald. Vesachas psigil machgeres sok, instead of sash, they would wear sackcloth. What does that mean? So the word psigil really has letters of two words in it. Psigil. Psi has the letters of Pesach and opening. Gil is gladness, the phrase of gilo. So the Gemara says, Psochim hamivim lidei gilo. Those openings that typically would cause a woman gladness, yiu lemachgoyrois sok. They would be girding sackcloth over them. Kisachas yoifi, and all these terrible things would happen to them because they abused their beauty. Omarova, hainu domrinchi, this is what people used to say, chilufei shifra, in exchange for beauty, kibo are sores. And pain. Continues the Gemara, and this is another pasuk there in Yeshaya, V'sipach Hashem kodkoid benois tzion. And Hashem will cause an affliction, will afflict the heads of the benois tzion, the girls of Yerushalayim. Omer Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, melamed sheporcho ben tzoras. That tzoras would afflict them. Ksiv hoch, it says in this pasuk, V'sipach, or ksiv hosam, and in the pasuk talking about tzoras, in the Torah it says, Lase'es v'lasapachas. So you see that sapachas is called tzoras. So when it says v'sipach Hashem kodkoid b'nois tzion, it's referring that the b'nois tzion are going to be afflicted with tzoras. And in that same pasuk, after it says v'sipach Hashem kodkoid b'nois tzion, it says v'Hashem poshein yo'ore, which means that their openings will pour out. Rav Shmuel, there's two explanations to this. Chad Omar one says shenishbechu kekitoin, and Rashi says that when they have ziva, which is a type of blood that comes out, that flows out of them, it will pour out. And that would be a punishment. Chad Omar, and the other one said shenasu pischeim, that those openings keyar, hair will grow there like forests, and their husbands will not want to go near them. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Yudah Omer Rav, Anshe Yerushalayim, the people of Yerushalayim then were Anshe Shachatz, they were very arrogant and inappropriate. Hoyu Odom, Hoyu. Odom Omer Lechavera, your person would say to his friend, Bameh Sa'adot Hayoim, with what did you dine today? Bepas Amilo, Oy Bepas She'eno Yamilo. Was it well needed bread or was it not well needed bread? Beyayin gurdali, was it gurdali type of wine which was white? Oy beyayin chardali, or was it a dark bread, or dark wine? Bemesav Rochov, did you dine on a wide couch? Oy bemesav Kotzor, or on a narrow couch? Bechaver Toiv, was that companion good? Oy bechaver Ra, or was it bad? And Omar of Chizda, Vekulon Znus, these are all terms of Znus. When they were talking about Averis they were doing, they were asking each other about what type of experience they had, and that's very, very arrogant and inappropriate. also the Averis and also the way they were talking. Continues the Gemara, Omar Achba, Omar of Yehuda. Atzei Yerushalayim, the logs of wood that were used in Yerushalayim, shel kinamoin hoyu, they were cinnamon. Ubashosh hoyu masikin behen, and when the people in Yerushalayim would warm up, would burn these woods, Reichon noidef, their fragrance would waft through Bechol Eretz Yisrael, to the whole of Eretz Yisrael, from Yerushalayim. Umishachorvo Yerushalayim, when Yerushalayim got destroyed, Nignazu, this wood got hidden. All that was left was a tiny piece of this wood, the size of a grain of barley. Umishtakach, and it can be found beginze in the warehouses of the Tzimtzumoi Malkasa. This queen called Tzimtzumoi, she has a little bit of this wood left. Other than that, the rest has got hidden. In the next shiur, we're going to see the Mishnah.